Well, it is an honor to speak to you once again. Appreciate the opportunity that Brother Travis has given me to be here. And we will try to preach fast this morning. So everybody smile and get ready. Fasten your seatbelts. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1. Appreciate all the good singing this morning. It's been a great blessing. There's nothing that prepares your heart for preaching like good singing. Now tonight, I'll be bringing a friend of mine with me. The first time I preached here, I preached a message and gave an illustration about a friend of mine who had been his brother was a preacher, and my friend, because he was always in competition with his brother, but he was lost, he went off and decided to become a preacher in the Satanic, the Church of Satan, and he was a devil worshiper, and he was on drugs and alcohol and all that, and he got saved. And his brother preached here, I believe, several weeks ago, Mark Coffey. And so my friend Johnny will be with us tonight. He's just coming to sit there, but you'll get to meet him if you'd like to meet him. He now teaches in the nursing home, and he does jail ministry occasionally in children's church, has a wife and two wonderful kids. But he'll be here tonight. Now, Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1. The Word of God says, "The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." And I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of Jesus Christ, the son of David. The son of David. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do thank you for letting us be in this service this morning. I do pray now that you will forgive us for our sins. Please forgive me. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit as I preach, and these that are saved as they hear. We pray for any here who are not saved that you would convict them, save them this morning, Heavenly Father. We pray for ourselves that you would just let us receive your word. We know that nothing's done of ourselves. And I know, Heavenly Father, that of myself there'll be nothing accomplished if I just get up here and speak. So I need the power from on high, the fullness of Thy Holy Spirit. Amen. And these that listen need the fullness of Thy Holy Spirit to receive Thy Word. I pray You'd lift Your name up and be glorified this morning. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above every name. Amen. Amen. And God will bless the reading of His perfect Word. Now, the Word of God says, "The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." And we're speaking this morning on the subject of the son of David. The fact that the Lord Jesus Christ was the son of David was very important. The Jewish people would have recognized right away that their Messiah had to be David's son. He had to be David's son because God had promised David that his descendants would sit on his throne forever. Now, that had not happened because David's descendants fell into sin, so there had to be someone that was coming. The Jewish people understood that there would be a Messiah who would come, who would set up an earthly kingdom and would reign on David's throne forever. The son of David. The Bible says in Psalm 132 and verse 11, "The Lord hath sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne." That's ultimately fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ, and this is what the Jewish people were looking for. And so the Bible says, "The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." And down at the end of the genealogy, in verse 17, the Word of God says, chapter 1, verse 17 of Matthew, "So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations, and from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations." So we see David as a focus and then ending up with Christ. It's interesting that the Bible uses 14 generations here to separate out this genealogy. In David's name, the Hebrew letters in David's name have numerical equivalents. In other words, the letters are equivalent to numbers. And if you put those numbers together, it equals 14. And so, David is a central focus of this genealogy. 14 generations, the son of David. Now, if you'll turn to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 20. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 20. And the Word of God says, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." And so, Jesus' earthly father, or legal father, was the son of David. Now, Mary was a descendant of David, and Joseph was a descendant of David. Now, we all understand here that Jesus Christ in the flesh was actually born of Mary, but that Joseph was not his father. He's the Son of God, the eternal Son of God. However, under the Jewish laws, in order for Jesus to truly be a son of David, he had to legally be the son of David, and the legal line of Christ had to run through a descendant of David. And so Joseph, being Jesus' legal father, even though he wasn't his real father, then Jesus Christ, both physically from Mary, was descended from David, and legally from Joseph was descended from David. And so the Bible makes this important point that Joseph is the son of David. Now turn, if you will, please, to Matthew chapter 9 and verse 27. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 27. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 27, the Word of God says, "And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of who? David, have mercy on us." And so, even these blind men recognized that the Lord Jesus Christ was the son of David. Very important, the fact that Jesus Christ is the son of David. Turn to Matthew chapter 12 and verse 23, if you will, please. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 23. Matthew 12:23 says, "And all the people were amazed and said, Is not this the son of David?" And these people were the Jewish people. So all the Jewish people knew he was the son of David. They knew that the Messiah must be the son of David. And they were amazed and said, "Is not this the son of David?" Now look in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 22, if you will, please. Matthew 15. 22. Now we can understand that the Jews would have known that the Lord Jesus Christ would have been the son of David. But in Matthew 15 and 22, watch this. "And behold, a woman of Canaan." Now this is a Gentile woman. This is not a Jewish woman. A woman of Canaan. "Came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of who?
David.
David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." So even this Gentile woman knew that the Lord Jesus Christ was the son of David. Extremely important that Jesus Christ is the son of David. Now turn, if you will, please, to Matthew chapter 20 and verse 30. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 30. Matthew 20:30, "And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David." Now here's some more blind men that hear Jesus is passing by. And they know he's the son of David. Now look, if you will, please, in the next chapter, chapter 21 and verse 9. 21 and verse 9. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Now here are the multitudes. And the multitudes knew that the Lord Jesus Christ was the Son of who?
David.
And they cried, Hosanna. The word Hosanna means save us now. Save us now. And knowing that Jesus was the Son of David, believing that, they expected Him to come and save them immediately from the Romans. The Romans occupied their land, and they wanted a Messiah, the Son of David, to come and sit upon His throne and save them from the Romans. But Jesus did not come to save the people from the Roman armies. He came to save the people from their sins. And before the Lord Jesus Christ ever came to set up a physical kingdom on the earth, which He will do one day, He came to set up a kingdom where He would rule and reign from men's hearts. And so the multitudes cried, save us now! Hosanna to the Son of David! Save us now! And you know, what those people wanted was for Jesus to save them from physical distress. And there are a lot of people, even in this area, either Murray County or Whitfield County, in these areas, there are people who, if you ask them, do you trust Jesus? They'll say, oh yes, I trust Him. Well, what do you mean? Well, one time I was sick, and I was in the hospital, and Jesus healed me, and I trusted Him to heal me. One time I was in a car wreck, and Jesus kept me safe. I trusted Him to do that. I trust Jesus. He'll take care of me. And do you know that you can trust Jesus to do all kinds of temporal things for you? All kinds of temporal things. You can trust Him to save you now from whatever you're going through, but if that's all you trust Him to do, then you'll never go to heaven when you die. Because Jesus comes primarily to save us from hell. And so, trusting Jesus. Lots of people want a quick fix to their physical needs and not true salvation. And what Jesus Christ wants to do is to save your soul from hell. And it's not enough to simply say, well, I trust Jesus to save me from physical distress. You've got to trust Him to save you from hell and to take you to heaven when you die. That's why He died on the cross. That's why He rose from the dead. So if you've never been saved this morning, you can trust the Lord Jesus Christ not just to save you from temporary circumstances, but to save you eternally from hell.
Amen.
For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the eternal gospel. That's the gospel, the good news, that Jesus died to save us from perishing in hell and to give us everlasting life in heaven. So, they cried, Hosanna to the Son of David, but they were mistaken about what He came to save them from. Now look, if you will please, this same chapter, Matthew chapter 21 and verse 15. Verse 15, and when the chief priest and scribes saw the wonderful things that He did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased.
Yeah.
Even the children knew that the Lord Jesus Christ was the Son of David. Even the children knew it. And of course, the chief priests and the scribes, all the religious people, were sore displeased. That's usually how it is. Religious folks are usually sore displeased by true religion, biblical religion, Christianity, and they were in that day as well. But even the children knew that He was the Son of David. And they cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Everyone knew that Jesus Christ was the Son of David.
Amen.
Extremely important that Jesus Christ is the Son of David. Now turn, if you will, please, to Matthew chapter 22 and look in verse 42. Matthew chapter 22, and let's start reading in verse 41. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 41. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" Now we all know the answer to that. Whose son is Jesus Christ? David, right? All right. "They say unto him, the son of David." Of course they did. Everyone knows that. "He saith unto them," verse 43, "How then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? And no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions." If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? Because you don't call your son Lord. Lord is a superior. The son of David. Now it's interesting at the end of Matthew, after going through, he's the son of David, the son of David, the son of David, then you get to the end of the book, and all the questioning ceases when Jesus Christ puts forth this perplexing argument. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? For the answer to that, let's turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1 and verse 1. John chapter 1 and verse 1. And in John chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." The word "Word" in this verse is another name for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a title of Christ. The Lord has many different titles. That's one of His titles. He is the Word. And the Bible says, "In the beginning." That means in the beginning of all things, not just the beginning of creation, but even the beginning of eternity. In the beginning was the Word. In other words, in the beginning of all things, Jesus Christ, the Word, already was. He already was existing before anything was created, before anything was made, before there was time, before there was anything. The Word was. Jesus Christ was. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. You see, before David was ever born, the Word was. Therefore, Jesus Christ is the Lord of David, because He existed before David. But now, look, if you will, please, in John chapter 1 and verse 14. John chapter 1 and verse 14, and the Word of God says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." You see, the Word always was. Jesus Christ always existed before the beginning of anything, before the beginning of time, before the beginning of the world. The Lord Jesus Christ always existed, but there was a point in time. There was a point in time at which the Word was made flesh. See, Jesus Christ did not always exist in a human body. That happened at a point in time. That happened about 2,000 years ago when the Lord Jesus Christ was born into a human body as a little baby to Mary, His mother. And so, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ is the Lord of David, because He has always existed as God. But He's the Son of David because He is a descendant of David because He became flesh. He became a little baby. And He was born to Mary, His legal father, Joseph. And therefore, He's the Son of David. And the mystery is solved. Jesus Christ, the Son of David and the Lord of David. Now, you might say, well, how does this apply to us? Other than being an interesting Bible study, what does this do for me? Well, there's a wonderful truth here, and that truth is this. Jesus Christ, when He rose from the dead, He was still in a physical body. It's a resurrection body. It was a picture of what our bodies will be like when we are raised from the dead, but it's still a human body. And the Lord Jesus Christ right now is still has a human body. He is still man and God at the same time. The eternal God is both the man and God. He's both God and man. And the wonderful thing about that is that as a man, He can understand what you go through because He's been through it. Jesus Christ has walked on this earth. He knows what it is to lose a friend because He lost His friend Lazarus. But as God, He was able to raise Lazarus from the dead.
Amen.
Jesus Christ knows what it is to suffer loneliness because He was lonely in the Garden of Gethsemane as He prayed and His disciples fell asleep when He asked them to watch and pray with Him. He knows what it is to suffer pain, for He suffered pain on the cross of Calvary. He knows what it is to suffer hunger, for He hungered for 40 days and 40 nights as He was tempted in the wilderness. The Lord Jesus Christ has been in all points tempted, like as we are, and yet without sin. Because He's God, He could not sin, but because He was man, He could be tempted in all points, like as we are. Jesus Christ, the Son of David, the Son of God. So, I come to God today and I say, Lord, I need some help. I'm going through some troubles, but what can You understand about my problems? Jesus, You're God. You're high and lifted up. You're so far away from what's going on this earth. What can You understand about the problems I'm going through? And Jesus Christ says, Son, not only am I God, I'm also man.
Amen.
I can understand.
Yeah.
I come to Jesus today, and you come to Jesus today, and you say, Jesus, I'm having some real trouble in my life. I'm suffering from some sickness. I'm suffering from some problems. I've got different things going on in my life. I know You understand, because You're a man, but what can You do to help me? You're just a man. And Jesus says, no, my child, I'm not just a man, I'm also God.
Amen.
If we could grab hold of this today, that there is a man who is also God, who understands everything that we go through, but is also all-powerful and almighty to help us today.
Amen.
Jesus Christ, the Son of David.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, the Son of God. If you're not saved here today, Jesus became a man. The eternal God became a man so that He could die on the cross for your sin, so that He could save you.
Right.
You say, He doesn't understand my sin. He does understand your sin.
Right.
He is God. He's also a man. He'll save your soul today and give you eternal life. And then for the rest of your life and into eternity, you as a human being will always have another human being, another man, who's also God. A perfect man without sin and perfect eternal God who can be your friend, who can be your brother, who can help you through whatever you go through.
Amen.
Jesus Christ, the Son of David, the Son of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do thank You. I thank You, Lord Jesus Christ, that You became a man. You walked among us. I thank You, Lord Jesus Christ, that You are the eternal God. The eternal God, Creator of all things. I thank you that you were there in the beginning. I thank you that you became flesh and dwelt among us.